Do the next verse. It is short. It's karma, it's continuation of the same verse. So verse number 48. Yogastha kuru karmani.
Yogastha kuru karmani.
Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva.
Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva.
Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Samatvam yoga uchyate.
So yoga stha. Stha means established in yoga. Now yoga has many meanings. One of the meaning, of course, yoga, what we understand is the exercises, but that's only one part of yoga. Yoga means unite, yuj. So yoga stha means established in unity, union. So whom should he unite with? So he says, unite with me. Work, united with me. So united with the Lord, work. Yogastha kuru karmani. Do your activities united with me or united with a higher goal. It could be for the Lord, or if you are working, say, for the betterment of Bakersfield, so you become a mayor or a city councillor, not only for becoming famous, or not only that through mayor I can then go to the supervisor and then become a house or a senator. I am becoming a mayor or a councilman to serve the city of Bakersfield. So that is the yoga. So my goal is higher. Yogastha kuru karmani. Do activities. Sangam tyaktva. Sangam means attachment. Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya was one of Arjuna's name, because Arjuna was, Dhananjaya means one who has acquired wealth. So in those days, they used to do yajna, and Rajasuya yajna or Ashwamedh yajna, and then the kings would collect money. But the question was, what was the goal of collecting money? So in Yudhishthira's case, when he was king, the goal of collecting money was to serve, give back to society. Not just for my own pleasure. So Dhananjaya, because he and Bhima were responsible not only for collecting money in their kingdom, but they also, in those days, they used to go to other kingdoms, because the weaker kings would depend on the stronger kings for protection and they would help. So he says, Dhananjaya, you have acquired a lot of outer wealth. And he was a prince, he was a king. But he says, now you need to acquire inner wealth. Outer wealth we all have acquired. In this country we have plenty. But now I have to get inner wealth of love, compassion, sharing. That's why he calls him Dhananjaya. So, yogastha kuru karmani, sangam tyaktva, giving up attachment, O Arjuna. Siddhya asiddhya. So, success and siddhi asiddhi, in these two, samobhutva, be the same in success and failure. And samatvam yoga uchyate. Here, Krishna is giving a new meaning of yoga, and that is samatvam, equanimity is said to be yoga. So Dhananjaya we already explained, united with me, that we have understood before. Work, dedicating your activities to the Lord, keeping the Lord always with you, and try to keep little reminders. As I think I've told before, maybe you can make your phone wallpaper, have a picture of your favorite, you know, deity, and then every month change the picture. Don't change the deity, but change the picture. Like if Ganesh ji is your deity, if you go on images of Ganesh, there'll be 200 images. So pick one. So what happened? Because your mind gets used to one image. So change it. That way, again, you, when you turn on your phone, you remember the Lord. Or have a little picture in your car. Or have it on the wall, in your house, in the kitchen. So constantly remember the Lord and dedicate your activities and work with the Lord in mind, and the Lord is working through me. Once the Lord is working through me, my actions automatically will be noble, will be pure. And then he says, sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Now, sangam or attachment is, people always misinterpret that when we say we shouldn't be attached, means I shouldn't love. They say, you shouldn't be attached to your children. You shouldn't be attached to your house. You shouldn't be. So you mean we should not love our children? No, attachment and love are different. Love, we must love all. We must love our children. But not only my children, as we said, everybody's children. I should help. I should serve. But difference between love and attachment is attachment is dependence. I plus I want. So I educated my child, but then now why am I educating? So when he grows up, he will take care of me. So I am not educating the child because it is my job, my duty. Gurudev used to say, children, you are not owners of the children. You are trustees of the children. So whatever 18 years, 20 years, the child is in your house, you do your best to educate them, give them right values, and then let them go. Then don't hold on to, don't try to make every decision for them. If they bring somebody to the house to marry, they say, I want to marry, cheerfully accept him. Do not have insistence that, oh, this is what you should do. This is what I have taught the child the best. Of course, if they come for advice, we are olders. We give them advice wherever you can help, help. But do not have thinking that this is my child. It is not my child. It is God's child. I love them, but I do not get attached. And tomorrow, if some situation happens and the child does not repay or does not take care of me, I should not become depressed. I did not bring up a child so that they should take care of me. I did my duty as a parent, and if I have done the right job, then the Lord will take care of me. So attachment is depending on somebody or something for my happiness. And we become so dependent, you know, if this person smiles at me, I am happy. If this person does not smile, I am unhappy. So this feeling that I am incomplete is attachment, and I need this person to make me complete, to make me happy. In fact, somebody had sent me a message, and it says this lady asked her friend, does your husband make you happy? She said, no, he doesn't make me happy. He says, really? He does not make me happy at all. Really? She says, yeah. She says, because why? Because I'm happiness. I'm happy within. I don't need my husband to make me happy. So the point is that we're not saying that you'd stop caring for your spouse or stop caring for the children. But I am happy if my husband is good, I'm happy. If he's not, I'm still happy. If my children call me once a week or twice a week, I'm happy. If they don't call, I'm still happy. As long as they're doing well, as long as they're doing well. So ego comes in when it is I and my child, my house, my this, my that, my job, and my money. So we get so attached to I and my, and that is called ego. Where then that what does that? It produces arrogance. I have done so much. I am so great. And especially when there is success, then we become so arrogant. You know what? Mere jaisa to koi hai nahi. Nobody is as great as I am. I have done so much. And then we go around bragging. And actually, I read somewhere that if you do some good somewhere and somebody else gets the credit, do you get disturbed or not? That is a sign of emotional maturity. I did a good job, but somebody else went and took credit and I don't get disturbed. That is called an emotionally mature individual. I did my best. I did not do it for credit. I did not do it for praise. I did what I was supposed to do. If somebody took the credit, let him. It's okay. The Lord up there knows. So in success, do not become arrogant. And in failure, do not become dejected, moaning. Oh, you know, I am so useless. I am so bad. And we keep beating ourselves. You know, we are very good at self-putting ourselves down. I am no good. I am useless. I am not smart enough. I am not this enough. I am not good enough. I can't remember this. I can't remember shlokas. Or somebody says, I can't remember. Everyone is good at something. Some people are good in numbers. Some people are good in remembering faces. Like, I don't remember faces and names. Patients have been coming to me for years. I don't remember. I'm very poor at that. But Sanskrit shloka you give me, I can memorize. So, you know, everybody has their abilities, and there are others who are so very good in remembering names, faces. So you have to accept that not everybody is good in everything. I get lost. You know, if I've been to a place even 3 times, I still get lost. Thank God there is GPS. Otherwise, I could never find my way. And there are others. My father was such that 20 years ago he has gone one time to a place, 20 years ago, and you tell him, he'll take you exactly. So, you know, different people have different talents. So do not criticize yourself and say, I am not good enough. Whatever the talents the Lord has given me, thank you, Bhagwan, and use that for service. And then they say, do not look for a specific result. As we said, do not say, what did I get, but what did I give? So that should be the main purpose. And as we said, you bring up the child so that he should become a responsible citizen, should serve the world and make the world a better place. Only then your purpose and life is served. So I should serve, and my children should also be taught how to do service, how to be volunteer, how to help. So these values that our scriptures have given us have to be passed on to our children, and hopefully onwards to our grandchildren. So that's what he says, samatvam yoga uchyate. So one who can be balanced in success and in failure. Success also, he does not become overjoyed and start bragging. In failure, he does not start crying. He says, okay, I didn't succeed this time. What was the reason? It's not that you, failure, you don't care. No, you have to care. Okay, it didn't work out. Why didn't it work out? So you analyze the reasons. You say, I didn't do a good enough job, or whatever. You learn from failures and work hard to next time remedy the situation. And when you succeed, instead of being boastful, just go to the temple and thank God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given me. And so remaining balance. Obviously, if you have successful, you will be happy. If you have failed, you will be sad. We are not saying that this person is like a stone, you know, everything is happy, nothing, and he's sad, he's still the same. No. When, you know, there's a stressful situation, somebody is not doing well, or there is some death in the family, you obviously go support that person, cry with that person, do whatever you can. And if somebody is celebrating, you know, anniversary or a birthday, you know, you go and celebrate. But inside, you remain calm, do not remain unaffected. So that is yoga. So that is called true yoga. See, Krishna in many places give different meanings of yoga. That's the beauty of Sanskrit language, that one word can have many meanings depending on the context. Another place, Bhagwan says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Efficiency in work is yoga. Here he says equanimity is yoga. Then other places he says working with me in mind is yoga. So the word yoga can be used many places. So this verse kind of complements the previous verse. So I didn't spend too much time on it. Where he says work dedicated to me, keeping me in your mind. Do not work with attachment, I plus I want. Do not depend on a future result. Gurudev in his commentary says that we work with a certain expectation that the work should come out like this, the result should be like this. An insistence on a particular result or a particular thing should happen, only then I will be happy. And in that process, as Kusum said, our efficiency goes down. And if the result doesn't come out as I exactly wanted, then I say, it's like I've talked about many times, you know, we get 9 things, but then the 10th thing we don't get, and we say, God, why is the 10th one? All the 9 we got, we are not happy with, but the 10th one I did not get. Why? Because I had a goal that everything should be good, and in nobody's life everything is good. Everybody has problems. So go through problems. Do not let them stop you from your goal, from your purpose. And problems can be physical. You may have physical problems, you may have emotional, you may have intellectual problems, but problems will be there. But I have to continue a work hard in the world and be, do not forget my ultimate goal of God realization or self realization.
Sir, if we are doing good deeds, like
yes,
for example, we are employed and we are doing good job, but at some point, if somebody is taking a advantage, like she is working good, let her give more work of this kind, okay? So like, and your intelligence say, no, this is like my advantage of your goodness has been taken.
Right.
So in that situation, how you deal with it? You are doing your good job.
Right.
But now somebody is taking advantage of being good to some people or whatever. In that situation, how you deal?
Yeah, see, Bhagwan never told Arjuna to become a doormat. He said when the Kauravas are taking advantage, first he tried to talk to them. When they don't listen, then you have to fight. So he's not telling you to become a doormat and let people take advantage. When things are unjust, you have to resist it. You do your best, but if somebody is taking advantage, throwing their work on you, you can do it in two or three ways. One is you can talk to that person and say, look, I already have this much work and you're trying to put more work on me. And so, you know, you can talk nicely. If that person doesn't listen, you can go to management. You can go higher. And then you can be more firm with the individual and say that, no, I'm not going to do this. So working hard does not mean you become a doormat. Do not. When there is something wrong going on, it is our duty to resist. Last week we had talked about tamas. When you accept wrong, that is also tamasic. The wrong thing is going on, then I have to resist it. And that's what Gandhiji taught us. That's what everybody, you know, taught us, that when there's something wrong, we have to resist. Yes. So passively accepting the wrong is not, it's not karma yoga. That is, and suppose there is a situation where you can't resist. Say your boss is keeping on throwing more work on you. Then you have three choices. You know, suppose it is your boss. Either you talk to the boss and it doesn't work, or you leave the job, you know, take up another job. But if you can't do either, Eckhart Tolle says very beautifully, if you are in a bad situation, there are three options. One is you change the situation, or B, you walk away from that situation. But say you can't leave the job because you need the money, the boss will not listen. Then the third is you 100% accept that this is fine. Even I have more work, I'll do it because that's my prarabdha. That is my, without complaint. See, when you, so that is after you have tried the first two. You tried to change it, you couldn't leave it. Then that when you have to work and you don't have a choice, then work 100% that this is fine. This is my prarabdha. This is my destiny and I'll do my best where I am placed. So there are three options you have. But what we do, we cannot change the situation, talk to the boss, we cannot leave the job. We stay in the job but keep on complaining inside. Oh, you know, I'm miserable. Oh, this guy is useless. My boss is bad. My co-worker. No, whatever situation, I'm happy. See, that's the first thing you have to learn. That's why they say a wise person is one who, when he lost his car, he was happy he had a bike. When he lost his bike, he said, at least I have my legs, at least I'm walking, at least I have a walking stick. So be happy with wherever the Lord has placed you. Thank you, Bhagwan. That is the number one. Gratitude is very important. So total acceptance of the unfortunate situation, not accept with complaint, because then you are miserable inside and there's no use. So we're not saying you accept it, but if you have no choice, then be one with it. Be fine with it. See, I'm fine. That every morning you should get up and say, I'm fine. There's one person I know, he's 93 years old. He has multiple fractures. He walks with a walker. Every time I talk to him, he says, I'm fine. I am happy. You know, he has constant back pain. He has 2-3 fractures. His elbow is not working. But never I heard him complain. Never. Anytime you talk to him, I'm fine. So that attitude that I'm fine has to be inculcated in us. And we have to say that. Yes.
I always think it kind of just gets back to just like the sun. You know, the sun gives you, it gives us everything. You know, food, shelter,
right,
everything we need. But, you know, if you're out in the desert and it's really hot, you know, it doesn't do any good complaining. I mean, you try to walk out of it if you can.
Right.
Try to get under some shelter, you know.
Exactly.
Shielded, take off some clothing, whatever you need to do, but
complaining.
If you're going to die out there in the desert, well,
right,
there's no sense complaining but to the sun.
Right. Right. That's true. Be fine with wherever you are. There's no point complaining. You can't change the weather. It's going to get hot, 108 degrees. There's no point complaining. You know, you're living in Bakersfield, will be 110. That's Bakersfield. You know, either
get your
air conditioning checked or move to San Luis Obispo. You know, you can't live in Bakersfield and complain about the heat. Just like you can't live in Minnesota and say it's minus 40 degrees. You know, you chose to live there. So, yes. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Next week will be a shorter class because we have Mahashivratri. So we'll have a shorter class and then go for the Shiva Puja. Also, Acharya Vimal Chaitanya Ji will be here from February 28th to March 3rd, Wednesday to the following Saturday. He's a wonderful teacher. The topic is Prashnopanishad, which is a very, very practical Upanishad. And just watch for the email. If you're not getting emails, please contact the office. Thank you. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru. Hari Om. Thank you.